Shkalim, Dav Chaf Amid Beis. We're towards the bottom here, and I believe we're up to Minayin LeKohen. Is that what we're up to? Minayin LeKohen Gadol. This is, I don't know, 8 lines up or so, 3rd word on the line. Minayin LeKohen Gadol Shemes Velo Minu Achar Tachtav. Let's say the Kohen Gadol died. We talked about this yesterday. The Kohen Gadol dies, and then nobody else is stepping in. So Shetehem and Chasa Krev Mishel Yarshim, that his mincha should be brought from the heirs, which is I think it was Machlokas, but we said before whether that was true. Rabbi Yehuda said it came from the Yarshim, whereas either the Tanakam or somebody else said that you bring Mishel Tzibor. So the Gemara says, because the Pasuk tells us in Sav, HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtav, Mi Banav Ya'aseh Oso, from his children, Yachol Yivyanu L'Chatzayim, maybe you would think that you should bring it half and half like normal, Kohen Gadol would bring, Tam Alomar Osa, the whole thing, Kula Amarti, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's according to Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eina Ba'el Mishel Tzibor, you only bring it from the communal funds, Shekeinem Archok Olam, Mishel Olam. Right, it says the word Chok Olam. Where is that word? I assume maybe it's in the same pasuk. The same pasuk says Chok Olam LaHashem Kalil Taktar, that it's from the Olam. Chok Olam sometimes means forever. This should be the rule here. They're darshaning to say it's Chok Olam. It's the rule of the people. The people have to bring the karban. You might have a girsa issue here, but according to my Gemara, the next words are Kalil Taktar Kalil LaHaktara, that it should be all brought bishleimut. It should all be brought fully and not half and half. Okay, so Kohen Gadol Shemes. We had said that that's brought from the Tzibor. So Rebbe Ba Bar Mamal Bai. Rebbe Ba, David pointed out to me yesterday that we've seen this name Rebbe Ba before, and his really name was Abba. For whatever reason, we've seen different ways that the Yerushalmi just takes off the front aleph of any word. So, right, we've seen the word mar means amar. We've seen the word alazar is shortened to be lazar. So here it's Rebbe Ba Bar Mamal. Abba Bar Mamal once asked, Dabai, machlefa shita said to Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon sort of contradict himself. Tama, and over there in the Braisa, Amar Mishel Tzibor Devar Torah, that he has to bring it midaraisa, the mincha should be brought Mishel Tzibor. V'hacha Amar Mitznai Beistin. And here he says it's because of the Beistin who says that it's allowed. Meaning, in both cases, he says that the mincha should be brought Mishel Tzibor, but in one case, he says it's based on a pasuk, right? The one we just said. And in our Mishnah, he said it was based on the Beistin. So, Amar Rebbe Chia Bar Ba, Rebbe Chia, the son of Abba, I don't know if it's the same Abba, but V'lo Yaos Humakshe. So, this is unclear whether this is a question or this is a statement. Meaning, isn't this a good question or this is not a good question, right? It's either a rhetorical question or it's a statement. Because, Asa Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha Rebbe Abba B'Rashem Rebbe Yochanan, Devar Torah Husha Tehe Ba Min HaTzibor. What it meant is that Midaraisa, it should be brought from the Tzibor. However, there's an interesting parenthesis here that I don't think the Koran had when I looked over it, which is that it says in the parenthesis, Kevin dechazi dekam midcha kal lishka. Midcha kal lishka sounds like the lishka wasn't supporting it or something. So then, hayisi omer yigvula, that you should raise the money from the people and not from the lishka itself. So he skinu shetei ba mitrumas lishka, and then they made a takana that it should dafka be brought from the lishka, as opposed to fundraising it from the people. It should come from the Beis Hamikdash itself. What exactly does that mean? Anyone have a definition of what that meant? That the lishka wasn't going to do it. Let me see what it says here. Koran Gemara I have in front of me. So it says, the Koran one says it should be brought from the Yarshim. That's how my Gemara says that Hayisi Omer Yigbula from Yisrael and not from the Yarshim. Okay. Yeah, the way that the Quran says it doesn't make sense. Midaraisa should be brought from the tzibur, and then you would have thought it's brought from the eretz. That doesn't make as much sense. But according to the Masifta, what it's supposed to say is that midaraisa should be brought from the tzibur, and therefore you should go around collecting from the general people, from the general population. And then we say, no, it's not going to work. You should instead get it from the Beis HaMikdash to ensure that it happens. Okay. Moving on, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Bai. Sorry, Rabbi Yossi Amar, Rabbi Yochanan Bai. Mahu Shlema. What does it mean when we said Shlema? Right? We said that the Asiris Heifa, the Mincha of the Kohen Gadol, should be brought full. Right? If they died and there was no other Kohen Gadol. So it should be brought fully. So what does it mean? Shlema B'Shachris, Shlema Ben Harbayim. Does that mean you bring the full thing in the morning and the full thing in the afternoon, which would be double the normal amount? Oh, Shlema B'Shachris B'Tela Ben Harbayim. Or does it mean that you bring the full thing in Shachris and then you don't bring anything for the afternoon? So Kata Pshitale. We already learned a different time. Or no, it says here, after he thought about it, so he thought, he came to an answer. Shlema b'shachris shlema ben arbayim. You should bring the full thing in the morning and the afternoon. Why? D'chsiv mincha tamid. That it should be tamid, which apparently means that it should always be brought in the morning and the afternoon. And if we're saying we have to bring it fully, so then you have to bring it fully morning and afternoon. V'dat z'richalei. And we also had another question. Shloshes lugin mahin. Right? We have three log of shemen that go along with the flour, that go along with the mincha. So what about that? Do you split that one up, or do you bring it as a full thing, as the full measurement, like we originally proposed by the mincha? So Amar Rabbi Chizkiya, uf hada trichale. We already asked about something else similarly. Girsa issue here, but komets achas v'shachros, komets achas bein arbayim. Oh, chati komets v'shachros, chati komets bein arbayim. So there's a komets, a handful of flour. What was the Asir Sa'ifa made of? Wasn't that also flour? Hold on. What are we talking about? For the chavitin, wasn't it flour? The tenth of the ifa was flour, and now we're talking about the kometz mincha. Was that a different carbon? Oh no, the kometz was for the ketores. Is that right, Michael? Yeah, now the kometz that we're talking about is for the ketores. So two different offerings of flour that you would do with the fingers. Yeah, it's a handful, but not with the thumb and the pinky.
But yeah, but it's for the, I think it's what goes on the chavitim. It's the lavana. I don't know. I don't think it's the same as the ketores. I'm trying to figure that out. But
okay, so hold on. So the Kohen Gadol will bring a mincha, right? The chavitim. The chavitim was made of flour and oil, wasn't it?
I'm checking. I thought it might be the Levana also. The same.
No, stuff. Now the Kometz is talking about the Levana. Levana.
Right.
But what was it? What was it before? So we're doing flour and water to make the pancake, and then we're putting flour on top of that? Flour and... The Chavitim was flour and oil.
I thought it was a Levana. It says Levana. It's the Minchas Chavatim. So it's the Levana, I thought, is the spice is the same spice they put on the showbread. That goes on too.
Right. So the Kohen Gadol brings the Mincha, which is made of flour and oil.
And oil.
And then we put more flour on top of it?
Levana. It's the spices.
Oh, the spices. Okay.
That's why it's a Chavit. It's a
Kometz.
A Kometz.
Okay. So the Kometz is made of Levona. Let me see. So the Gemara is saying, Kometz achas b'shachas, Kometz achas ben arbayim. just like you did a full measurement of the flour for the chavit, and you do a full measurement of the levona. Oh, chatzi komets v'shachas chatzi komets min arbaim, or you do half and half. Okay, so we're basically saying we already learned this, or we had a similar, I guess, a similar doubt. Just like the oil, we had a similar doubt with the komets, with the levona, with the spice of the frankincense. So Amar Rabbi Yosa, klum lamdu lekomets lo milechem hapanim. Didn't we learn from the lechem hapanim that you also do it fully malahalan shnei kumtzin afkan shnei kumtzin? Just like for the bread, for the lechem hapanim, you would do one full kometz in the morning, one full kometz in the afternoon. So too for the chavitin, you would do one full kometz in the morning, one full kometz in the afternoon. Right, and people might have parentheses there. Matam and tuchale, afachat tuchale. So Amar Rabbi Chizkiya, klum lamdu shloshes lugin lo mi tamid. Don't we learn from the tamid? Ma'alahal and shloshes lugin. Afkan shloshes lugin, just like the tamid brought three full things of oil, so to the chavitim have three full logan of oil. Okay, so in the end of the day, everything's brought, the full measurement is brought for everything. Nothing is halved. When the Kohen would bring it normally, it would be halved, but would everything else be halved? I don't know.
And the showbread, it's always a chametz. It's for each of the six.
Right, I'm saying when the Kohen would bring it himself, and he didn't die beforehand, would he do half?
I don't know. I thought it was one each.
Svi should tell us something.
Yeah, Svi should tell us, yeah.
I thought it was one chometz for each of the morning and one for the afternoon on the regular, normal situation.
Right, yeah, I don't know. We know the chavitin was halved. The chavitin was halved. Right, the Asir Se'efa was half in the morning, half in the afternoon. I'm wondering about the other stuff that we're now talking about that goes on top of it. Does that not also get halved for the Kohen Gadol? And that's why we're asking these questions about when he died, and we do the full thing. So then we do the full thing for the other ones.
But I thought when they set it up and they broke it up, he took two chavitim of Levana and three. He didn't break up the... They took enough for each and then divided it in half, but it was... They used two chavitim of the Levana. And I might be wrong because it's been a long time.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's only been 2 years, but I just...
Yeah, all right, I don't know. So we had said in the Mishnah about the Paraduma that there was some kind of takana that the rabbi said that you don't have to worry about disqualifying or misusing the red heifer's ashes. So what does that mean? Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, Mishnah Rabbi Yonasan, Bidin Haya Sheyimaluba, Vehein Gazer Shloyimaluba. Technically, it was a problem for them to use the ashes for anything else, except they came along and were Gozer Shloyimaluba. This is not a typical Gezerah. A Gezerah usually is restrictive. Here it's being lenient, right? That typically, or technically, it should be a misuse of consecrated property if somebody would use the Paraduma ashes for something else. But the rabbis came along and said, yeah, no, we're going to make a gezerah that it's not a problem.
How can they undo
it? Yeah, so good. So that's the obvious present question. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? So Gemara says, v'hatani chatas malam shemolim ba. Anything that says chatas hi, so that means that it's that you can be misusing it. So this also would apply for the ashes. So ba molin ve'molin ba'afra. So the Gemara says, really, the drasha is ba molin, only for that, for the actual item, the paraduma itself, but not for its ashes. So meaning that midaraisa also, technically, it's okay. So what exactly happened? So Amar Rabbi Abahu, barishona hayu mishtak shekin ba. They used to do something that would be... you know, disrespectful to it. I think the Koran says that they would use it for like a wound or something. What does it say? They would clean themselves with it. Okay, so like they put it on their wounds for like some kind of medicinal purpose. And they would put it on their wound. Because they were using it in this disrespectful way, so then they decided that they're going to make a gezerah to say that this is considered misusing it. even though technically midaraisa, it's not true, right? Technically midaraisa, they had this drasha from the pasuk that it's not a problem. So comes the Gemara and says, then kevan she nigduru, after they made such a gezera, everybody stopped using the ashes altogether.
It says here, except for the purification water, but what else was it used?
Well, they would always have leftovers. So the question, they would just leave it there and nobody would ever touch it, I guess. But it should be used for some things.
It is no longer used, the ashes, for anything except purification water. But what else, if he's right, what else should they have used it for? Isn't that what it was used for, purification water?
Yeah, I guess they didn't put the whole thing in, though. And there are probably a lot of ashes there.
As rare as a proper para aduma was, I'm shocked that they would be cavalier with any amount of it.
Yeah. I don't know. It says that that's what they would do. And then they wouldn't do anything. So then Gazru Shalo Yimaluba. It's just a weird phrasing. Gazru Shalo Yimaluba. They made a gezera that it's not misusing. Which is typically not what a gezera does. It could be that they were going to use it for other things also, and they didn't. I saw this also somewhere else. Maybe there was a note or something. But that you could use the Para Aduma ashes for people who might have needed it, but it wasn't clear that they needed it. And therefore, they were refraining from using it for even those people that might have needed it because, you know, they didn't want to misuse it.
The note here says they avoided using them to purify doubtful cases lest they misuse them. So
yeah, so they wanted to encourage people to use it.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess it's an all or nothing thing. They couldn't just say use it for the Suffolk cases. They had to say you can use it for whatever you want. I don't know. Interesting historical note there. Okay, V'al Hakinim. This is a repetition of something we said before, that the birds that became psulos, so they would bring the replacements from Mishal Tzibor, whereas Rabbi Yossi said that anyone who is mesapik es hakinin, who mesapik es psulos. So tam and tanin and mechzel and mechzel yiplu goes le'ola. Over there we said that if it's close to, if it's equidistant from the kinim and the goes le'ola, what? The kinim and the goes le'ola, so then you would give it to the goes le'ola because there's more machmir. And then the Gemara says, Ha'isha azos, mamam is himis kaperes, how's that woman going to finish off her kinim process? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Tanai based in he, Hamasabik zakinin, humasabik zapsulos vesa ha'ovdos, someone who gives over the birds for the sake of the kinim, he also recognizes that he's giving over for the sake of the those that get lost and those that get disqualified. Meaning it's implied by when he gives stuff over to the Beis Hamikdash that it could be used for this purpose too. Hadron alach perak maos shenimtu. Maos shenimtu. Money where it's found in different places. Okay, I think this is the last parak. Last parak of Shkolim. Here we go. Halacha Aleph. Here's an interesting, I hope no one's drinking or eating anything. Kol harokin hanimtzam shem Yerushalayim. Any spit which is found in Yerushalayim. Now this is not referring to spit like we think of, like little spit, like a kid, you know, spits in his, right? This, they used to have, you know, buckets of spit, right? They used to have tons of spit laying around. They thought this was like a health thing. I don't know exactly what. It just used to be a thing. So, and we've talked in shul about, you know, the minhag of having spittle buckets in shul. In the Gemara's talk about it in the Beis HaMikdash. Aaron, you can't relate.
All I was going to say is, I mean, this was a thing until 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Until the last pandemic that hit.
Oh, you think that's what it was?
Yeah, I mean, spittoons were
right
in vogue until 1918, and then
you think it was because of the swine, the pandemic of 1918.
Seems like a pretty simple.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
I've heard early American tshuvas or debates about when communities came over from Europe and they came to America. in the New York, I think it was Rabbi Lookstein or maybe someone who like an ancestor of his, that had to sort of tell the newcomer Europeans that we don't do that in America. Like America is like a much more like, you know, it's a nicer place. Like this is, we're not talking about like dirt floors and, you know, putting, you know, piecing things together. You know, people dressed in top hats and they dressed in nice suits and everything. So we don't do the spit thing anymore.
You can't bring it back.
Yeah, I don't think so. But I told the story when I first got here, a couple months in. So there was a guy, there's a minhag, I don't know if people know this minhag, that when you say an Aleinu, Shehem Mishtachavim Lehevel Varik, right, that they, the non-Jews, it's in parentheses, so not everyone says it, those, the non-Jews, they worship, you know, nothingness and emptiness, right, Hevel Varik. But the word Rik also sounds like Rok. So there's this minhag that some had to spit when they said that. And I saw someone in our shul spit on the floor of our shul. At that moment, I said, are you doing that because of the minhag, the spit when you say, and he's like, yeah. It's like, we don't do that here. It's like, so like, I just had to sort of like tell him off and tell, you know, like, we don't spit on our carpet, you know? But yeah, so some people have, you know, still a remnant of this kind of thing. Either way, so what would happen to that spit in Yerushalayim? We know it's a liquid and it's coming out of someone who could have been Tame. So the question is, how do we treat it just like we talked about the animals? How do we treat those animals? How do we assume that their status is this or that? So Kol HaRokan HaNimtzam Yerushalayim Tahorim. We can assume that any spit found in Yerushalayim is Tahor. Because here it says in my notes that it's because we can assume it's not from a non-Jew. Or alternatively, it's not from a Jew who's Tame. Because someone who's coming to Yerushalayim for the sake of Karbanos or for the sake of Aliyah L'Regel, we assume he's not Tame. I don't understand exactly 100% because maybe they're coming before the Paraduma or something. So I guess maybe it would be situational also. I don't know.
Well, I think they're assuming during the three Shoshim that it's Tahor, but otherwise it's questionable.
Because meaning on the Yontif itself. I was talking about what if it's before the Yontif and people are still becoming Tame.
It's sometime before and a little time after.
Yeah.
As we learn in, I forget the
Minach.
In Chagiga, we learn more about the timing.
All right, we'll get there. Chutz Mishel Shuk Ha'elyon, except for the upper market. Because apparently over there, people, the non-Jews would sell stuff over there. And therefore, that's going to be Tami Divrei Rabbi Meir. I think that's only a Tumah D'Rabbanan, if I'm not mistaken. Is that true? It's only Tumah D'Rabbanan. I don't know. But anyway, that's going to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bishar Kol Yomos Hashana. This is interesting. Shebe'emtza Tamein. That stuff which is in the middle of the road, so that's going to be Tame. Because a lot of people walk there, including those who are Tame. Tamein. Shebe'etzad in Tahor, and the people on the sides, apparently those people were more careful about things, or this is, I don't know if this is sort of like just an understood... The understood, you know, way of the paths. The people who are tahor or more careful would go on the sidewalk, and the people who are tame would walk in the middle of the street. I don't know. That's what it sounds like. And therefore, urbashas haregel, however, sheb emtza tahor, and even the people in the middle of the street were tahor. The sheb esan tame, and the other ones on the side were tame. Mibnei hamautin, because mistakin l'stadin, because whoever was the less. Whoever was the minority, they would walk on the side. So usually the minority would be the people that were tahor in the shuk, in the marketplace. But during the regal, where most people that were coming to Yerushalayim were all tahor, otherwise they wouldn't be coming, so they would walk in the middle of the street. I'm just thinking about like our streets and the way people are machmer nowadays. I feel like this would never work. I just feel like the people that were tahor would like avoid the marketplace like the plague, and they would like take the roundabout way, and they wouldn't even want to go near the people on the sidewalks. Like I feel like modern day this would not work, unless this was like a huge street, like we're talking about like a huge thoroughfare. I'm not sure, but it doesn't seem like a practical way to do it. Either way, so that's what Rabbi Yossi says. And Kol HaKelim HaNimitzam B'Yerushalayim, Derech Yerid L'Beis HaTefillah. Listen, I think we've seen this Gemara before in Pesachim. Did we see it? I feel like we've seen this in Pesachim before. That all the vessels that are on the way down to the mikvah, so those are Tamein, because they haven't yet gotten to the mikvah. and you would have to assume that there were different places for going up and down. Derech Aliyah, v'derech Aliyah, the ones that were coming up from the mikvah, tahorin, shalok, yiridas, and aliyasan, that there were different stairwells that they would use to go up and go down. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's going to Rabbi Meir. Now you would think, how could a person lose their vessel on the way up? Imagine someone gets married and they have tons of new vessels, right? They just got all their stuff from the registry, and they lose some things here and there. You find in the mikveh, you find loose kalim all the time.
I got plenty of stuff in there.
I'm making a killing off that extra mikveh vessel.
There must be two pans.
Yeah, no, that's what it's saying. There must be two different ways.
But I think Sechelim is filling in a lot of missing parts of a lot of Masechtas that, gives more detail in an area they didn't cover.
That could be. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Omer Kulon Tahorin. Rabbi Yossi said they're all Tahor, Chutz Min Hasal, except for the basket, V'hamagrefa, V'hamritza, V'hamilchad, and L'kvaros. And these are like different types of knives, right? Was it a cleaver? We've had these before.
Shovel, hammer.
A basket, shovel, and maritza. What is maritza here?
It translates as a hammer, but these were all used for the graves.
A wheelbarrow and modern wheelbarrow.
But here it says it could be a pickaxe.
Pickaxe.
The Koran has an interesting picture here. How do you pronounce that word? Dolabras? People know that word?
Looks like that.
Dolabra.
We have, show us the picture.
Oh, here.
Thank you.
I don't exactly know what it is. It just looks like one piece of metal that's thin on one side and bigger on the other side. Maybe for the sake of like hitting it on the other side. I don't know. Like it looks like a more advanced chisel.
I think this thing is missing the handle in these pictures. The handle goes... goes up through it, in which case it looks like just a modern pickaxe. It looks like a modern pickaxe.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. It could be that there's like a handle that goes up into it. Okay. Interesting. Okay, so those things, they were used for burying people, so we assume that those types of utensils should not be assumed as tahor, like Rabbi Yossi is saying. Right, was that Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi. So sak and shenus is ba'arba asar shochepa. We've definitely seen this gemara in Psachim. If you find a knife, a shechita knife, for the sake of like a carbon pasach or something, so if you find it on the 14th of Nisan, so shochepa miad, you can use it right away. We assume that because it's there on the 14th, it's being prepped for the carbon pasach. B'shalosha asar, if it's the 13th, however, shono matbil, you don't necessarily know that it's been taken care of yet, so you have to put it in the mikveh again. Kopitz, this was a cleaver. I had a bigger kind of knife. So that type of knife, bazeh ubazeh shonu mat. I think we said that we use it for the chagiga. Do we use the kobitz for the chagiga?
It was for breaking bones. We mentioned, and that's what they're.
Oh, okay.
That could be for the chagigas. I don't think we were doing that with the korban pesach.
You're right. So I think that therefore it was only used for the chagiga where it wasn't a problem to break the bones. Yeah. The shalmei chagiga. It says it in the note in the Koran. Kopitz bezeo bezeh shono matpil. The Gemara in Psachim daf ayin amud aleph and amud beis talk about. It was for the chagiga. Okay. So it doesn't matter when, even if on the 14th, you have to be mouthful because you're not necessarily going to use it that day. You use it for... Why would it be that on the 14th you can't assume it? Didn't we say that you used the chagiga? You used it for. Didn't you bring the karma chagiga on the 14th also?
It was the 14th and the 15th chagiga.
So then why aren't we assuming that it was used for the 14th chagiga?
I don't know. You have to break the bones. That day.
Oh, the Gemara in Pesachim asked that question.
Yeah.
Hold
and
on.
And the 15th was done the base of Mikdash, so we didn't have to worry about.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's another case with the 14th of the Shabbos, and there's no chagiga on the 14th.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, if you remember, there was a whole convoluted question about this, and like the Nasi had died, and therefore everyone was Tameh, and therefore they couldn't bring the Chagiga until Yontif itself. But technically, that would be true. It would be true that you could assume just like the Sakin, that it could be Tahor. The Yerushalmi doesn't go through that at all. But it does say the next phrase, which we talked about in Pesachim too, Chal Arba Asalios B'Shabbos Shocha B'Miad, that if the 14th is on Shabbos, so then you could assume that you could assume that the kopetz was used also for the 13th.
This would be good.
And therefore it was already put into mikvah before Shabbos. And therefore it's considered to be okay just like the Sakin. B'chamisha asar, if you found the kopetz, the cleaver, on the 15th. So shochet b'miyad, just like the Karan Pesach, the sakin for the Karan Pesach, you could use right away. On the 14th, you could use the kopetz on the 15th right away also. And as we said, it could be the 14th if it was a regular. But also, maybe the Gemara is going to talk about this tomorrow. I don't know. I didn't get to it yet. Nimsa k'shura l'sakin harehi k'sakin. If, however, it was tied together, so then it's considered like the knife. Rabbi Avin, says the Gemara, b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Katsran shal nachrin hayasham. There were people there who were, I don't know, launderers. And therefore they were considered to be tamei. Oh, interesting. The Gemara, my Masifta Gemara, says that they were people who did laundry, and here
Gentiles.
In the what?
They were Gentile launderers, like the Chinese laundry.
Yeah, but here in the Koran, they translate Katsran as a palace of sorts. And therefore, there were people around, non-Jews around, and it could be that their spit was on the ground because they lived over there.
Normally, non-Jews are not Tame.
I think there's a Tuma Durabanan that we apply to non-Jews, isn't it?
Tuma of Zavin.
Yeah, Midurabanan.
Yeah. The Durabanic Tumah is very confusing.
Okay, so Amar Rebbe Chanina, Arodos Hayu Nochrim B'Yerushalayim. They were once killing wild donkeys in Yerushalayim. It says here in the Koran, in order to feed the lions in the circus. Okay, I don't know why they were doing that in Yerushalayim. Doesn't seem like the best place to have a circus.
I think the Romans tried to Romanize Eretz Yisrael. I mean, you have, especially in Caesarea, you know, you have...
Right, that's for sure. But I'm talking about, like, why would they put a circus in Yerushalayim? That would
well,
be
it like, could be after the destruction of the temple.
Yeah, maybe, okay. So what happened, basically, was, and I don't know how this is possible, but we have similar testimony from Josephus about the Karan Pesach. The people that came...
I'm wrong. This is before. I guess I'm wrong. This is... Before.
Yeah, right. Well, or the second Beis Hamikdash, I don't know. But they would have blood up to their ankles from all the donkeys that were being killed. And the Chacham came along and they said nothing about it, meaning that it was assumed to be mutter. It was assumed to be tahor. Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, b'shem Rabbi Chanina, katran shel nachrim hayasham. Okay, that's a misprint or whatever in the parentheses there. Rabbi Simon, b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Masa b'prayed Michel Beis Rabbi Shemesa. There was once a mule of Rabbi Harunasi that died. V'tiaru estamea mishum nevela. I think we had this Gemara also already in Shkolim, no? Sounds very familiar. They asked Rabbi, who'd they ask here? Doesn't say who they asked exactly. But then it was asked. Maybe they said it was Tahor. Rabbi Elazar Shaul, Rabbi Suman, Ad Kama. How much is it Tahor? I mean, it can't just, you know, we're just bathing in blood here. So Vala Giveh, he didn't give him an answer. Right? Rabbi Simon did not answer. Shaul, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, the Asher, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Amar Le, Ad Revi, Tahor, Yosemikan Tame. Rabbi Shimon Levi says it would be tummy after Arias, which is a normal amount for Tuma and Tara. So there's no exception to this rule. Ubash le Rabbi Lazar de lo chazu le Rabbi Simon Shmuasa. And Rabbi Lazar was annoyed that Rabbi Simon didn't respond with the halach he presumably already knew. That after Arias it would be tummy. So Rabbi Beva havi yasiv masni hadinovda. So Rabbi Beva was sitting and teaching this, was giving over this. Rabbi Beva said, up to a Revius is pure, and more than that is Tameh, and then he kicked him. So Amar Rabbi Zirika, begin to have a shalach at Beit Bey. Because he asked you a question, you're going to kick him. So Amar Le, begin to have a dati be. It's because I didn't really know about it too much. Meaning my mind wasn't very settled. Why? We've seen this peculiar Gemara before. The pasuk at the end of Devarim says that your life should be hanging for you like a person who buys wheat. Someone who stores away wheat for the whole year. So that's someone who's it's sort of hanging there. It's hanging in doubt. But then if you're fearful day and night, so zeshu lokach min asitki, that's the person that goes and buys the wheat from the storekeeper. V'lo tamin b'chayecha, but then the person who says you shouldn't believe in your life, you shouldn't have faith in your life, so that you have no assurance of life. So that's referring to a poor person who has to go every day to the baker and can't even afford to have one day's storing of wheat. V'ana samacha paltira. And I am like the person who relies on the baker. I'm so poor, and therefore I'm so
worried about my money. I'm so worried about having enough food to eat that I don't even have the wherewithal to answer your questions properly. Okay, I don't know why that means he has to kick the guy, but okay. So my kedun. So then, what is the halacha about the? Back to the topic. So what's the halacha in terms of the blood of a nevela? So Heid Rabbi Yeshua ben Psora al dam nevela shu tar, he says it's tar. So ma'u tar tarum lahach shir. It's tar to make other things tame. Hal tamos me tame. In order to create a status of tuma contraction of other things. So then it would be tame. But in order for the sake of being tame or causing other things to become tame, So then it's going to make other things tame, but it's not going to sort of give over the ability to make other things tame. Taman tanin and dama sheretz metamek kibsaro metame veino mach sheveino lanu keotzbo. Right. This is all repetition. We've seen this before. That the blood of a bug is going to give over impurity just like its own flesh. However, it's not going to be machshir. It's not going to. Is not going to give over a susceptibility to make other things tame. Ve'ein lanu cheotzibo, there's nothing else like it. So Gemara says, ve'ein lanu... Oh, wait, that's a question somehow? The Koran says that the next part is an answer. He said, taman taninan is the question. I don't know how the Koran even knows that that's a question, because usually that means that it's a statement, but over here it's asking a question. Didn't we learn that there's nothing else like it? Meaning that, we've seen this Gemara before, we just said that for the blood of a nevela, it's going to make something tame, but it's not going to make something susceptible to cause other things to become tame. So, but here in this Mishnah, in Mishnah from Machshirin, so we say that the bug has the same thing, that it itself can be metame, but it's not going to cause other things to become susceptible to tuma. What we meant was there's nothing like it in regards to the measure in order to give it tame, to make it tame. What does that mean? So I think what it means is whether it's Ka'adasha, here it says in the Koran, the measure of both the blood and the flesh of a creeping animal required for conferring impurity is a lentil bulk. Creeping animals are unique in this regard, since the measure of blood and flesh that confer impurity from an animal carcass are different. An olive bulk of flesh is sufficient to confer impurity, while a quarter log of blood is required. However, the Gemara concludes, its blood of an animal carcass gives over impurity like its flesh, meaning of a... Kazayas, is that what it means? Metame kibsaro like gazayas, which is not like we would say before, that it really should be a revius. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Yossi, pligi batrein amar ein chad amar tameh v'chad amar tahor. One person says that it's tameh, one person says it's tahor. In terms of the nevela blood, so man damar tameh k'Reb Yehuda, man damar tahor k'Reb Yishuv ben Besora. The one who says that it's tahor is like Reb Yehuda. I guess maybe that was that the story we said before. We know it was about Reb Yehuda's mule. We don't necessarily know who was the one that answered it. But they said it was Tahor. So maybe that was Rabbi Yehuda who said that. As opposed to Rabbi Shua ben Besora, who said that it would be Tameh, like we said before. Right? That it's Tahor only Milahachshir, but it's Latamos, it is Metame, cause Tuma. For other things that are already susceptible to Tuma. Amar Le Rav Avduma de Min Nechosa. Rav Avduma said of the descenders, Min Nechosa, those that came down from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. Interesting concept. V'yelz de Rebbe Yehuda Moraina debe Nisya Hava. Rebbe Yehuda was the halachic of the house of Nasir. Rebbe Yehuda ruled that the blood of the dead mule was pure only because there was less than a quarter log of it. Okay, so I guess he was the one who said that originally. That it was Tahor, but he says here it's only Tahor because it was less than a revius. Okay, interesting. Let's try to get done with halacha Aleph. And then we'll pick up with Halacha Beis tomorrow, I think. Just make sure there's not too much on Amud Beis. Yeah. It was relatively doable. So let's see. So, Hakol Rokin. Lokin Amar Rebbe Avo B'Shem Rebbe Yosef Ben Chanina. Lok Gazer Al Rokin Shem Yerushalayim. We didn't make any Gezerah about the ritual impurity for Yerushalayim. So why is it that we're saying that it's impure if it's in that marketplace, right? We said in the Mishnah that there was that one place in the shuk that we would say we would assume that it was tameh. So Gemara says ha itzmar alei Rebbe Avin b'shem Rebbe Yishuv ben Levi katzran shalgaim hayasham. No, the only reason is because over there we knew that there were a lot of non-Jews there, and that's why we treated it like it was tameh, like we said at the beginning of the Gemara. So Gemara says b'shari mosar shana tameh mehalchem shibol saratar mehalchem atzad. Other days of the year, those who were tameh would go in the middle of the street, as we said before, and the tahorim would go on the side. If hatahor mehalchem stam, and the those who are tahor would just walk normally. I don't know what that means, normally. V'atimeim, I guess they wouldn't say anything. V'atimeim omrim lehem prusho. Those who were tame would say, like, stay away from me. Interesting concept. They would just walk around saying, prushu, prushu, prushu. I guess like a guy selling peanuts at a baseball game, right? Prushu, 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 stay away from me. He wouldn't stop saying it. okay. B'shas haragel, the time of the regalim, hatorm hav mishiboles, they would walk in the middle of the road. Shiboles usually is referring to like a bundle of wheat. Here it's referring to like a big group. The people would be considered the shiboles. Haragel torm hav mishiboles, v'atamei mahalchem min atzad, and those who are tamei stood on the side, v'atamei mahalchem stam, v'atorin omrim lehem pshushu, because they were the majority. So the Tahorin would say, stay away. Okay? I don't know. I guess they also didn't work, right? Walking in the middle versus walking on the sides. They had to be extra careful, even in their situations. Chol came on time. All the vessels of the Lochin, Amar Rabbi Abba, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Gazra, Al Kem Shem Rishalayim. B'Kem Shem Rishalayim, B'Darach Yeridil, B'Esa Tvil, Nasu Ocheach. So originally, they never made a Gezerah about the vessels. They assumed that if they were found on the way out of the mikvah, they would be tahor. So the Gemara says, no, because they found some on the way down, so then there were some that were tameh. Right? It's just clear that, or they're on the way down to the mikvah, they must be tameh. So Abishol ha'koreo san tziporin. Abishol would call them, meaning the tools that we used for the kvura, right, the ones that we mentioned in the Mishnah, he would call them tziporin. Which literally, translates to fingernails. So what does that mean? Man dar mitziporin shayadoma litziporin, because they were similar to fingernails with a sharp point. It says here in the Koran. Okay, man dar amar meritza. Those who called it a meritza, shem meritza es ha'evin lebein hakvaros. Meritza literally means, here it says, a runner did so because it is a tool which runs. I have no idea what this means. It moves the stone used to close the entrance to the burial cave to the cemetery. Like the word rots, I guess. They would push it in front of the cave openings. I guess it would roll, maybe? I don't know. The stone would roll, and you'd use these utensils to move the stone. Okay, kopitz, tani hasakin shula hareza kamosa. If the knife is tied to it, so then that's going to be considered just like the knife, in which case it would be tahor on the 14th also. I don't know what the chiddush is there. This is saying that it would have the same thing, the same halacha as the cleaver. We said in the Mishnah that if the cleaver is tied to the knife, it would have the same halacha as the knife. This is saying that if it was tied to the cleaver, it would have the same halacha as the cleaver, that it would not be good on the 14th. All right, I guess it depends which one's considered the main one, which one's not. All righty. Reitz Hashem, we'll pick up with Halacha Beis tomorrow morning at 6:15 on Zoom. The last day, Reitz Hashem, on Zoom. For those who are coming in person, starting on Tuesday. Reitz Hashem, the Amud Beis of Chaf Beis is pretty short, so therefore we should be okay doing Halacha Beis, Halacha Gimel, and Halacha Dalet tomorrow. Okay, everyone should be well.
Yes,
you can. Everybody. Hey, yeah, Evan.
What's your plan for Sunday? Because we have our class at 7:10. Are you doing that before also?
No, we're probably going to do like we're doing now, unless I hear otherwise from Steve.
That should work.
All right. Shkayach Rabosai.
Everybody.